Is from Psalm 20 today. Psalm 20. Let's pray before we read our text today. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us this place, your holy place, your sanctuary, to worship you. At the same time, to listen to your teachings from the Bible, and to bring our hearts to reconfirm your covenant, your promises from the Bible. Lord, we're going to read Psalm 20. We found that is a kind of prayer, and we pray that would you please help us to understand this interesting psalm and help us to apply all the things that we're going to learn from this particular text, apply to our lives, so that we will be like your holy people in this earth. Your holiness will be expanded through our lives, Lord. As I'm going to deliver the word of God, Lord, would you please help me? Use me as your instrument, so that we will all focus our hearts onto Christ, nothing else but only our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 20 is found from our Pew Bibles, 579. 579 is Psalm 20, if you like to read from the Pew Bibles. Psalm 20, it starts like this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all the offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy at your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now, I know that the Lord saves his anointed, and he will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the King. May he answer us when we call. This is the word of God. I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction to the Psalm 20, then we will jump into the details later. As we just read on, Psalm 20 is a very interesting text. I was studying this psalm this week, and a few words kept popping in my mind, such as trust, which is a big theme in this particular psalm. Trust not only past or not only future, but all three, past and present and future. And also relationship, that word popping in my mind, and also the sovereignty, the sovereign God and his covenant. And joy and salvation and prayer. Now, Psalm 20 is a prayer psalm. Now, it's a common prayer of the Israelites for their own king, King David. Now, the situation is like the people prayed for David before he was going to a battle, or it was believed to having a military campaign. The before battle or military campaign, they, all the people, that is really awesome. God's people gathered together to worship God like us and to offer their prayer to God. Just imagine that picture in our mind. It's really awesome to think of it. Their prayer is rather very simple and very powerful, but at the same time, very covenantal. Now, they prayed God's protection for their king They prayed the safety of their King David, also including the security of God's kingdom, which is Israel. They also prayed based on God's covenant, not just based on what they did, based on their merit or their behavior, but they prayed based on God's covenant, God's promises. So somehow we can see Psalm 20 is very practical and very theological. This is really awesome psalm. Psalm 20 is a great example for you and me, for the contemporary Christians, because it gives us why we should pray together. I'm talking about not just on personally you having time to pray, but I'm talking about corporate prayer, like an intercessory prayer for somebody else, for the kingdom of God, and for our church and its ministries and our brothers and sisters, something that we can pray together. It teaches about that. So Psalm 20 teaches also us about prayer is not a burden. It's something that we have to do, like a burden that we can carry, but it will bring, through prayer, it brings us really joy and reaffirm of God's love to our hearts. That's Psalm 20. We reaffirm and we praise God's saving grace through Psalm 20. We can see that in a minute. Now, Psalm 20 is also, it teaches about relationship. Now, as we just read a prayer, this is the prayer of Israelites for their King David. And then we will see in a minute that the truth of their sincere heart for their King David. They just didn't say, hey, we'll take care of our king, just bless him. They didn't say that. They prayed sincerely for their king. And also people that strengthened their relationship with God through their prayers. And then asking God's protection and saving grace in the middle of affliction. So we see lots of relationships here. Psalm 20 also shows you and me God's covenantal relationship with his people. Especially we found with David. In verse 6 it says the anointed. The people declared and confessed their faith in God's covenant, which is holy and everlasting. God's covenantal relationship with his people is found this particular psalm throughout all entire psalm, especially verse 1 through 7 and 9. We see that the Lord, repeating same thing, the Lord. The word itself emphasizes that who God is. He is our Lord. God is their Lord, and they are God's people. We are God's people. That's interesting that a particular word, the Lord, is found in the Bible, especially our Bible, ESV, almost 7,800 times. So the Bible itself proves that the Lord, his majesty, his power, his covenant is very important to us. So Psalm 20 gives us a little bit of an idea of covenantal relationship with God. Psalm 20 reminds you and me of lots of things, but especially from the Bible, like God's covenant with Noah in Genesis 9, and God's covenant with Abraham, God's covenant with Moses in Deuteronomy, also God's new covenant with his people, Jeremiah 31 and 34. All these things we will think of by reading Psalm 20. Yes, this is about God's covenant. It reminds us to see God's new covenant with us through Jesus Christ as well. So somehow we can see that Psalm 20 is also a very Christ-centered psalm. Now, having said that, let's jump into our text today. Now, it's about prayer. Psalm 20 begins with intercessory prayer. Now, people prayed for God's help on behalf of their King David. Now, they prayed before David or his soldiers going to a battle or a war. In verse 1, it begins like this. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. So we're not sure what kind of trouble they had and they faced, but yet the psalmist clearly tells us that today that they had a serious trouble, something that they were not able to handle. Probably enemies were attacking the nation and their life was in danger. They were in big trouble. Now, in this situation, they didn't just go to war and just fight or defeat the enemies. The beauty is, rather they gathered together and they came to before God and offer prayers to God. That's the beauty of this psalm. They did not trust anything, even their power, even the well-trained army they have and chariots or other resources. They didn't trust all these things, but they brought themselves, their hearts before God and asked God's protection and God's permanent blessing. And then verse 1 says, "May the name of God of Jacob protect you." As God protected Jacob and their ancestors in the Old Testament, the people remembered and people asked God's provision and protection for their king and for their nation. It's interesting to see how they reacted to the troubles, unexpected troubles or challenges. They prayed together. Their prayer was not just demanding, "God, Lord, I want this." Not just demanding God's protection for the nation, for their king, etc. But their prayer was based on God's promise, God's holy promise. That's verse 2. It says, "Many he sent with you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion." Now we see the psalmist give us two images of God's promise. Now here, the sanctuary and Zion. Now image of the sanctuary and Zion are like an assurance of God's presence with his people. God's presence among here. It says God is not far away, a million miles away, but he is always with his people, even he is with us today. Therefore, since God is with us right now, with us here at the sanctuary, the psalmist say, God will surely send his help for their king, for the nation. It's pouring right now. Based on these first two, I see that God will surely hear our corporate prayer, as God heard the prayers of the Israelites. This is not an individual psalm. Psalm 20 teaches you and me about the importance of our corporate worship and prayer, praying together. As I mentioned before, the Israelites gathered together before God and worshiped God and offered their prayers. Now why? Because they knew that they were assured that God was with them. And then God will hear their prayers. This particular psalm assures of our faith in our hearts, of God's presence among us as well. And as Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, "And I am with you always," listen, "to the end of the age." And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "God is with us all the time." Jesus is with us all the time. The Holy Spirit lives us in us. Therefore, one thing that we can apply to our life from this verse 1 and 2 is we need to pray together. The corporate prayer as brothers and sisters, especially when we are afflicted, when we find troubles in our lives. Matthew 18 and 9, verse 19 and 20 says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Philippians chapter 4 also says, it teaches the importance of prayer. Do not be anxious about anything. Just not sitting there and thinking about your unknown future, worrying about it, but in everything by prayer. Paul puts the word prayer and supplication with a thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, where? In Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. That's the power of prayer that the Israelites had experienced before going to the war. They experienced the presence of God, and the same thing will happen to us. We pray together. Corporate prayer. Inside of our church, we have Sunday worship congregational prayer. Sometimes it's long, but it's really serious, we think that, because it's time for us bringing everything that we have before God. And we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. We have a small group meetings throughout the week and pray together. Now my challenge for you is join and pray together. Join a small group where you feel comfortable, and come and join Wednesday night prayer meeting. I know your life is so busy. Sometimes my life is so busy I was not able to come, but pray together. It's really awesome. God is not far away from us. He is with us. That we will feel that experience when we pray together. God hears our prayers, and He will surely answer our prayers. He will send us help. Because God remembers you and me. That's verse 3. Not only God is with us, among us, living inside of us, the Holy Spirit, but the psalmist declares that God will answer our prayers because God remembers us. Verse 3 says, may He remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Now this verse is a little bit tricky. And what does it mean by this verse? Now the psalmist is not only talking about offerings and sacrifices. They're important. We have to bring things to God, giving things to God, our gifts, our talents, things that we have, because everything came from God. We glorify God through our gifts. But the word here, verse 3 is, the main word is remember. That is a key word to understand in verse 3. The word remember means to regard and to consider. That means God remembers our worship, our public worship. God remembers our cries and our prayers. God remembers our offerings and sacrifices that we offer Him from the bottom of our hearts. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that God remembers how much we offered Him or the style of our worship service. No. God is looking for true worshipers. For example, Jesus says about a poor woman in poor woman's offering in Mark chapter 12, we know that she gave everything. And Jesus said, for a poor widow came in and put it in two small copper coins, which makes penny. And then He called His disciples to Him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Why? For they all contributed out their abundance, for she out of her poverty. Jesus is looking at her heart. In John chapter 4, and Jesus says, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. Surely He will remember. We're sitting here. I know they happen to me many times when I'm sitting there thinking different things. But God remembers our heart and our offerings, our sacrifices, our worship services, our prayers. Now, Psalm 20, and people in Psalm 20 are true worshipers in that sense. They did not seek earthly help or confidence in things out there, but they showed their trust in God's promises. They came to the Lord. They surely knew that God remembered King's truthful offerings and sacrifices. Therefore, they're asking God's blessing. Lord, do you know this? Therefore, they're confident that God will answer their prayers. And how about you and me? Does God hear, listen to our prayers and our prayers for our church ministries, that everything we pray regularly, and our prayers for our brothers and sisters? And how do we know that He's listening to our prayers? John Calvin says about this, God will hear our prayers. Why? Because God remembers the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very interesting to read Calvin's commentary on this part. God remembers the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So He will listen. He will answer. In that sense, corporate prayer, not individual, corporate prayer is a special, you know, kind of privilege that we have given to God's people. Because we pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. We remember that we pray based on God's promises. Because God provides our needs. Verse 4, may He grant you your heart's desires and fulfill all your plans. Now, we should not misunderstand this particular verse. It does not mean that we can get whatever we want, everything we want. James chapter 4 and 3 clearly says, you ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly and to spend it on your passions. Sometimes we ask those things, I need this, Lord. It's not going to happen to us. In Proverbs 16 and verse 1 through 3, it's very interesting. The plan we have, plans of everything hearts belong to man we have, but answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So, the proverb says, because God has the key answers for you, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. I don't think that the Israelites with David at the time prayed like this. This is what I want. This is what we want. We want victory. We want to conquer the nation, everything. We want victory. Just answer our prayer. No, not that way. They must have prayed like this, humbly bringing themselves, asking for God's mercy and blessings for their king. Because they knew that their God was the one who provided their needs. Therefore, He will also provide their needs, which is God's protection, blessings for their king and for their nation. Somehow, sometimes we see many, throughout the history of the Israelites, we see they are very selfish. God saved them and God said, do not worship other things. They worshiped the different gods in the nation. But here at this moment, their prayer was not selfish, not seeking their own interest, their own needs, own satisfaction. But more like a God-centered focus on God's sovereignty, confessing that God, you are the one who will provide us, and also waiting for God's blessing. And not their time, but God's time, and pray that may He grant you. And help us to look at our prayer habit this morning. Do we really realize that God is the one who provides everything, who provides our needs? Or do we demand God to give us something that we desperately need right now? Do we really give honor and glory to God through our prayers? Humbly asking His mercy and humbly acknowledge that the power of God and the Almighty God through our prayers. Do you really know that God is a sovereign God? Everything is in God's complete control. Therefore, these people rejoice because they know everything about these things. They rejoice in God's salvation. Verse 1 through 4, their prayer for their King David was all the four verses. They said, May the Lord. Repeating these words. But in verse 5, they changed the word. They say, may we shout for joy over your salvation. That is awesome. In the name of our God, set up our banners. Verse 5, we see that this is a prayer of confidence, 100% sure. This verse is all about praising God and His salvation for them, for their king. Their heart rejoiced in God's salvation and His grace. They, which is God's people at the time, assured God's protection and guidance. So what they did, they lift up the banner to praise God. That's their prayer. That happened in their prayer. John Calvin says that the Israelites at the time rejoiced in God's salvation. Why? Because God was their only hope. God is our hope too. Not something else we are holding in our hands, but God is our hope. He is our hope for our church. And verse 6 gives us more reasons to praise God. It says, now, therefore, we've been going through all these things about God in prayer. So now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. Which is in the King David. He will answer him from his holy heaven and with the saving might of his right hand. What a wonderful confession we just read here. It's so powerful. And John Calvin said about this particular verse as a doctrine of faith. Now, can we do that after prayer, corporate prayer about our church and ministries? And then we confess, and now we know that you will save us. You will answer our prayers. Do we have that faith? The Israelites at the time declared together that God would never abandon His kingdom, His anointed king. God would never abandon His people because God has called them as His people. God has founded His kingdom. The same is true. God will never abandon His people here at New Hope Church. Other Christians in the world. Because it's God's call. It's not our choice. God has called us. Before the foundation of the world, He knew us. He called us. Therefore, now is the time. Whatever we have, your situation, the difficulties, whatever we had in the past, based on the verse 5, now we rejoice in God's salvation. Praise the Lord. Amen. In our prayer, we too rejoice in God's salvation and His redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, As the Israelites declared that, as Calvin said, God is their hope. Jesus Christ is our hope, our only hope. Therefore, we rejoice in His saving grace. Therefore, we trust in God. Verse 7 and 8 is kind of a conclusion of people's prayer. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Those are powerful things at the time. If you go to war, you sure you need those things, the chariots or horses. But look at their prayer. We don't care about that. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Maybe pagans out there, if they heard what they are saying, maybe spy came to their camp and heard what they are saying, that, oh, these people are crazy. We have so many chariots and horses. We can conquer them and we're ready to destroy all this nation. But they are saying that we don't care about chariots and horses they have, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What a strong faith. And the verse 8, they said, why? They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Here in Psalm 20, God's people showed and confessed their trust in God, their faith in God. People out there, their enemies trusted in what they had. Maybe chariots and horses. Maybe power and resources they have. Maybe wisdom or something that unknown things. But here they confess that we trust in God alone. We trust God because God has proven His love throughout history, His promise, His covenant. So in the day of trouble, as the psalmist begins verse 1, in the day of trouble, just beginning of the trouble, from the day one, we trust in God to the end. In the day of sadness, in the day of happiness, we trust in God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Brothers and sisters, if we know and believe that God is with us today, and He hears our prayers, and if we believe that He will provide us our needs, surely we will rise. The only one answer, that we will rise and stand upright. There's no going back since God is with us. We will rise and stand because salvation belongs to God. And Psalmist concludes verse 9. O Lord, save the King. May He answer us when we call. John Calvin says about this psalm, about this particular this verse, like this quote, we turn our eyes toward Christ. So entire psalm is saying that, teaching us that, like these people out there, like the Israelites pray for their king, like they confess their confidence in God. Now we, whatever we have, we turn our eyes toward Christ because God saves us by hand of Psalm 20 is a great psalm. It teaches you and me how and what to say in our prayers. As the Israelites prayed for their King David and kingdom, God's kingdom, now it's challenging for us. We must pray. We must pray for our better is that. Say whatever I want to say, no. We must pray. We must spend our time, our precious time. I know that. We pray together. As the Israelites prayed together, we should spend our precious time
for our church, for all the ministries that we are running here at the church, for our brothers and sisters, how many times, how many minutes we spend to pray for our brothers and sisters? As the Israelites confessed their faith in God, now we have to rejoice in our prayer and rejoice in God's salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we boldly declare that, Lord, we trust in you. We trust in the Lord. We trust God's covenant, His promise in Christ. Even if we are afflicted, we are afflicted. Even if we are not doing great at this very moment, we don't care. We don't believe chariots and horses. But we have you. We have Jesus Christ. Therefore, we trust in God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Psalm 20 that we found great things from